Julie Goodnight is a nationally recognized clinician and frequent speaker at horse fairs and seminars around the country, known for bridging the gap between natural horsemanship and classical horsemanship. Julie has an upbeat and straightforward style of teaching with the ability to simplify elusive concepts in horsemanship. For more information on Julie Goodnight, visit www.juliegoodnight.com. And now, get ready to enjoy these private lessons with Julie Goodnight.
Hello, I am Julie Goodnight, and what I'd like to share with you today is information on balance and rhythm with the horse. Horseback riding is one of the top balance sports, sharing the stage with the likes of dancing and downhill skiing because it is a balance in motion. In most sports, balance is an important skill for the athletes participating in the sport, but what separates riding from other sports is that riding is a balance in motion, and you have to unite your balance with the balance of the horse. The horse has his own balance, his own rhythm, and his own motion. Riding is the art of synchronizing and uniting the balance of two animals, horse and human. All sports that require good balance have the same position, and it's known as the balance position. Sometimes it's called the ready position, and sometimes it's known as the athletic position. You already know this position well, and you probably utilize this position in some other sports that you do, which require good balance. You've seen it in sports such as golf, tennis, wrestling, football, martial arts. Any sport in which balance is a factor all have the same position, called the balanced position. The balanced position is simply standing with your feet a little more than shoulder width apart, your knees bent, all of your joints loose, your back flat, and your hands in front of you, with your eyes focused ahead. Refer to the drawing number 1 in the booklet that accompanies this recording. When you're in the balanced position, your ear, shoulder, hips, and heels will be in alignment. That's a critical component of the balanced position, ear, shoulder, hip, and heel alignment. A rider is not in balance with the horse, nor effective in communicating with the horse or controlling the horse until she rides in the balanced position. Now, let's take a look at how you can achieve complete balance with the horse and have a better understanding of the mechanics of proper balance and position. We're going to do some exercises on the ground away from the horse in order to improve your balance and position on the horse. By giving you a better understanding of the technicalities of balance and position from the ground, you'll be better able to put these skills to work on the back of a horse. So right now, go ahead and stand up, find a comfortable place to stand with plenty of room to move around. If you're listening in a car, you won't be able to practice all of these exercises, but you can use your imagination and practice them again when you arrive at your destination. But please, keep your focus and attention on the road and drive safely. Now, standing comfortably on the ground, make sure that your feet are at least shoulder width apart, you're standing upright, your eyes are focused softly ahead of you with a far-off focus, bend your knees a little bit, and as you bend your knees, sink down into your heels. Be sure all your joints are loose and relaxed. Shake your shoulders and arms a little bit so everything's nice and loose. Make sure your shoulders are directly over your hips and reach your hands out in front of you, but keep your elbows bent and near your side. Good. Now you're in the balanced position or the ready position. From this position, let's look at some of the critical components of balance. I'm sure at some time or another, someone has told you to keep your heels down when you're riding. Am I right? Well, it's the curse of the beginner rider trying to keep their heels down, and it's also a common fault seen in more advanced riders. Although we frequently tell riders to get their heels down, we rarely explain how or why. First, let me show you why it's so important to keep your heels down. Okay, you're still standing in the balanced position, your knees are bent, your hands are reaching out in front of you, but your elbows are at your side. You're looking far off out ahead of you. All of your joints are loose. Just bring your shoulders back over your hips and sink your weight down into your heels through your knees. And notice now your weight is comfortably balanced in your heels. You have more weight on your heels now than on the ball of your foot. From this position, you should feel steady and relaxed. Now, just for the sake of argument, what I want you to do is put your weight onto the balls of your feet and lift your heels way up off the ground. Now, holding this position with your heels up, notice how you feel. How's your balance now? Do you feel as stable as you were just a minute ago? Stay up there on the balls of your feet and see if you can notice that your toes are gripping. See if you can feel the tension creeping up your leg. Often you'll have to use your arms to keep your balance in this position. You'll have to stiffen your arms, even sometimes flail them around in order to balance. Think about how that would feel to your horse if you were to balance on his mouth. Also, notice when your heels are up off the ground and your weight is up on the ball of your foot that you don't have a sense of being anchored to the ground. You have the sense of your weight kind of rising up and floating out there. Now, go back to the balance position, put your heels back down, sink your weight down into your heels, your shoulders are back over your hips, loosen your joints, and keep your hands out in front of you with your elbows at your side. Notice the difference in how this feels. You feel steady and balanced. The muscles in your legs now feel long and relaxed. This is the desired position that you want on the horse. In this position, your weight is in your heels and you are anchored to the ground. If your weight comes onto the ball of your foot when you're riding, you're pushing on the stirrup and that pushes your weight up and off the horse and causes tension and bouncing. Try that one more time. Go up onto the ball of your foot and feel your weight lift up. Feel your balance become precarious and feel the tension in your legs and the locking in your joints. Now, go back down to the balance position, bring your shoulders back over your hips, sink down into your heels, and feel how balanced and steady and relaxed you are in this position. This is critical when you get on the horse. Whenever you start weighting the stirrup, it causes tension, brings your weight forward, and it pushes your weight up and out of the saddle. What we want to achieve on the horse is that your weight is sinking down onto the back of the horse so that you have the sense that you're anchored to the ground or anchored to the horse's back. Okay, now that we have seen why it's important to keep your weight in your heels, let's look at how you're going to accomplish that goal. The critical component of weighting your heels doesn't begin with your heels. It originates with your body position. So let's look at how you're going to have your body positioned in order to achieve the heels down or weighted heels position. Go back to standing in the balance position again, and let's take a closer look at the subtleties of this position. Again, you're standing with your feet a little more than shoulder width apart, your knees are bent, all of your joints are loose and relaxed, your shoulders are back over your hips, your elbows are at your side, and your hands are reaching forward so that they are out in front of you to assist you in balance. One of the most common faults I see in riders of all ability levels is a closed pelvis. A closed pelvis is when your back is arched so that your rear end sticks out behind you and the angle between your hips and thighs is closed. An open pelvis is when your lower back is flat, your belly button is pulled in towards your spine, and the angle between your hips and thighs opens. An open pelvis is what we want on the horse. Right now, just for the sake of argument, I want you to close your pelvis off to see how it feels. A closed pelvis is when you arch and stiffen your back, sticking your tailbone out behind you and sticking your belly button out in front of you so there is a bend in the small of your back and your hips are coming closer to your leg. This is a closed pelvis or an arched back. Refer to drawing number 2 in the booklet. Now, to open your pelvis, which is the position you want to be in while you're riding, I want you to pull your belly button in towards your spine, drop your tailbone towards the ground, and flatten your lower back. This position can be difficult for some people to find, and one of my favorite images to help you learn to open your pelvis is from Sally Swift, the author of Centered Riding. Sally Swift says, from the balance position, standing with your feet shoulder width apart, knees bent, ear, shoulder, hip, and heel alignment, imagine that you're a cat with a long tail, and reach down between your legs, grab that tail, and pull it up. That's the motion of opening your pelvis. Okay, so now that you understand what an open pelvis is and what a closed pelvis is, let's take a look at how an open pelvis is going to improve your balance and rhythm. Again, standing in the balance position, your shoulders are back over your hips, your pelvis is open, and your lower back is flat, you should feel your weight in your heels. Make sure all of your joints are loose and fluid now, and that you feel very stable, balanced, and relaxed. And again, just for the sake of argument, what I want you to do is close your pelvis and arch your back. Notice that your weight is now moving to the balls of your feet. In order to maintain this position, a little bit of tension starts creeping into your feet, in your shin area. Your knees lock a little bit in order to hold that position. Now, once again, open your pelvis as far as you can. Pull that cat tail up. And as you do, allow the back side of your legs to lengthen as your weight stretches into your heels. Now try opening and closing your pelvis slowly a few more times. And as you open your pelvis and flatten your back, feel the lengthening that occurs down the back side of your legs. The weight comes into your heels. Even if you are listening to this recording in a car, you ought to be able to get this feel. This is a really important feel because this is how you learn to weight your heels when you are on the horse's back. The weight in your heels comes from opening the pelvis and lengthening the whole backside of your legs, not just from jamming your heels down. All right, let's look at another important reason for having your pelvis open when you ride, and that is to be able to follow the motion of the horse and move with the horse's rhythm. As the horse moves, there is a lot of motion created in the horse's back. When your pelvis is open and you have proper ear, shoulder, hip, and heel alignment, and all of your joints are relaxed and fluid, you'll be able to move effortlessly and fluidly following the motion of the horse's back as he walks, trots, or canters. With each gait, the horse's back, and therefore your pelvis, moves in a different rhythm. Go back to your balanced position now, and let's go through the rhythms of the horse's movements. Make sure your pelvis is open, all of your joints are loose and fluid and relaxed, and your shoulders are back over your hips. Let's look at the rhythm of the horse's walk first. The walk is a four-beat lateral gait. Lateral simply means that the legs on one side move together. Lateral means side. In fact, the footfalls of the walk are right hind, right fore, left hind, left fore. That's why when the horse walks and you're in proper position, you will feel his back and your hips slide forward in a right, left motion. Now, from your balanced position, try moving your hips as if you were walking, but without moving your feet. So just your hips are walking, step right, left. Make sure that your hands are reaching forward and that your spine stays very centered on the horse, because you don't want your body to move from side to side, and you don't want your shoulders to come into this movement. Lift your sternum and keep your shoulders very still and quiet so that your hands are still and relaxed. So just move your hips forward and back, right, left. Imagine that you're walking without moving your feet. It's only when you have your pelvis open that your hips are free to move with the horse's back. Now let's look at what happens with your pelvis at the trot. The trot is a two-beat diagonal gait. Diagonal means opposite corners. So the diagonal part means that the legs on opposite sides move together, and the footfalls of the trot are the right hind and left fore move together to create one beat, and the left hind and right fore move together to create the other beat of the trot. And the trot has a moment of suspension between the two beats. The trot is a characteristically bumpy gait and tends to thrust you up and out of the saddle. And for that reason, it can be difficult to sit the trot and follow the motion of the horse's back. To sit the trot and move in rhythm with the horse, you will have to rhythmically rock your pelvis in both a vertical and lateral motion. Let's try the vertical motion of the pelvis first. Standing in the balanced position now, starting with your pelvis as open as it can be and your back very flat, place both hands over your belly button, one folded on top of the other. Now open and close your pelvis slightly by dropping your belly button down and then bringing it right back up all the way to the open pelvis position. Your hips are moving in an up, down motion. This is the vertical motion in your hips at the sitting trot, as your pelvis rises and drops to absorb the lift in the horse's back as he trots. Stay very centered on your horse. Drop your belly button down to close your pelvis slightly, and then bring it back up to open and flatten. Don't force the motion. Don't grip or tense the buttocks. It's just a soft, rhythmic lifting and dropping of your seat. You will not be creating this motion. You're simply absorbing the horse's back as it comes up and down in the suspension of the trot. Once you can truly sit the trot in a relaxed rhythm, you will also feel a lateral or side-to-side motion in the horse's back. Now let's try the lateral motion of the sitting trot. Still standing in the balanced position, place your hands on your hips. The lateral motion of the sitting trot is that your right hip will drop down and the left hip comes up. And then the left hip drops down as the right hip comes up. Your hips don't swing from side to side. Your spine stays totally centered. Just allow one hip to raise, the other hip to drop, and then vice versa in a right-left rhythm. Again, do not let your shoulders or upper body come into this motion. Keep your sternum lifted and your shoulders and hands quiet and relaxed. Remember, don't tense or grip any muscles, but move in a soft and relaxed rhythmic motion. This lateral motion of the trot correlates to the motion of the horse's hind legs, the horse's engine. When he pushes off with his right hind, you will feel your right hip lift as the muscles on that side of his back bunch up and contract. When he pushes off with his left hind, you'll feel your left hip lift. You can learn from very early on in your riding to feel the motion of your horse's hind legs. This is going to really come in handy later on in your riding when we talk about developing timing and feel of your horse. When you're actually sitting the trot on a horse, your pelvis will be moving in both the vertical and lateral motion at the same time. That is very difficult to do on the ground, so we'll save that one for when we're up on the horse's back. Okay, now we have looked at how you follow the motion of the walk and the trot. Go ahead and relax for a minute while we talk about the horse's footfalls at the canter. The canter, or lope, same thing, is a slow, controlled gallop. By the way, the natural gaits of the horse are the walk, trot, and gallop. We teach the horse to do a slow, controlled gallop, and we call it the canter, or lope. The canter is a three-beat rolling gait. The footfalls of the canter are a little more complicated than the other two gaits. If you want to try and visualize the gait as I talk about it, use your arms and legs to simulate the four legs of the horse. We'll go to the left first on the left lead. The stride begins with the outside hind leg, which would be the right hind if the horse were going to the left. The first beat of the left lead is the right hind. The next beat is the inside diagonal pair, meaning the inside or left hind and the outside or right foreleg. The third and final beat of the canter is the inside or leading left foreleg. Again, if the horse is going to the left and is on the left lead, his feet will fall starting with the right hind. The second beat is the left hind and right fore together, and the third and final beat is the left fore. On the third beat of the lope, all of the horse's body weight is on his leading foreleg. And following that beat, there is a moment of suspension where all four legs of the horse are off the ground. So what do you feel from your horse's back when he's cantering? Well, in the canter or lope, your hips will make a circle. They'll move down and forward, up and back. It's a motion a lot like pushing a swing, if you can remember that sensation from when you were a child, when you were pushing a swing to make it go higher. Try that now. Go back to standing in the balanced position, open the pelvis, flatten the lower back, and your shoulders must be back over your hips. To move with the canter, you make a circle with your hips, pushing down and forward, up and back. Continue making this circle with your hips, pushing down and forward, up and back, and notice that your shoulders must stay back as your hips swing forward in order for you to maintain balance. Now, just for the sake of argument, what I want you to do is lean forward with your shoulders so that your shoulders are clear out in front of your toes and your pelvis is closed. And now try to make that circle again with your hips, the same circle you were making just a minute ago. Notice that you can't really make that circle when you are out of position and your pelvis is closed. Go back to your balanced position now. Bring your shoulders back over your hips. Make sure your hands are out in front of you, your pelvis is open, and your back is flat. And now make that circle with your hips again. Make the circular motion with your hips as if you're pumping a swing, pushing down and forward, up and back. And notice that your shoulders must stay back over or even slightly behind your hips in order to make this motion. By the way, this shoulder forward position that I had you do just a moment ago is one of the most common equitation flaws that we see at the canter. When the rider leans forward, it closes off the available range of motion in the hips. And also, as we saw earlier, leaning forward causes you to lift your heels and weight the balls of your foot instead of your heel. And when you weight the balls of your foot, your weight is pushed up and out of the saddle instead of back and down onto the horse's back. Okay, go ahead and relax for a minute and let's take a look at what we've covered so far. We've talked about the importance of balance and position. We've talked about what creates balance, ear, shoulder, hip, and heel alignment, and all of your joints being fluid and loose. We've talked about the importance of keeping your pelvis open and your lower back flat, which allows you to keep your weight in your heels and have a full range of motion in your hips in order to move in rhythm with your horse. Now let's look at a few more details in your position that will improve your balance and rhythm. Let's start at the top and work our way down. Standing again in your balanced position, your feet are a little more than shoulder width apart, your back is flat, pelvis is open, your joints are loose, and your hands are reaching out in front of you with your elbows at your side. Take a far-off look out in front of you. Make sure your ears are right over your shoulders and your shoulders are back over your hips. There are two common equitation problems I see with ear alignment. The first one is jutting your chin forward, causing a bend in your neck. I call this the Cro-Magnon look. See drawing number 3 in the booklet that accompanies this recording. Not only will the Cro-Magnon position cause a great deal of discomfort in your neck, but it also affects your balance, since your head weighs a lot in proportion to your other body parts. When you jut your chin forward, it will tend to make you close your pelvis and weight the ball of your foot. This position is seen commonly in trainers and advanced riders who are too focused down on the horse's head instead of having their eyes up and looking out in front of them. To correct this Cro-Magnon position, all you have to do is bring your ears back in alignment over your shoulders and make sure that your nose is a little bit behind your belt buckle. Another thing you can do to correct this problem is to think of simply touching your neck to the back of your collar. The other common problem seen in upper body equitation is the rider simply looking down. Right now, if you look straight down at your feet, notice that this brings your head quite a bit further forward, and again, the weight of your head changes your balance slightly and brings more weight onto the ball of your foot. But beyond the change in balance, there's an even more important reason for not looking down, and that is that your eyes give communication to the horse. Relax for just a minute and let me explain this to you. How many times have you looked out into a herd of horses grazing contentedly out in the field? They all have their heads down in the grass, happily chewing away. All of a sudden, one horse, probably the boss mare, suddenly picks her head up and looks off in one direction. What does every other horse in the herd do? They follow her gaze, they pick up their heads and look in the same direction, and if necessary, they will all follow her in flight away from the perceived threat. This is a survival trait of herd behavior. When one horse has detected a possible threat to the herd and picks her head up and looks, every other horse in the herd follows the eyes of the leading horse. Horses are programmed to look where the other horses in the herd look and go where the other horses in the herd go. For that reason, your eyes give a lot of communication to the horse. When you establish the kind of relationship that you want with your horse, you will be able to consider you and your horse a herd of two. You basically have two choices in your herd of two. You can be the leader or you can be the follower. I think we're all pretty clear that we want to be the leader in our herd of two. We want to always give direction and leadership to our horse with our eyes. To do that, our eyes have to be active. They have to be focused out in front of you, looking where you're going, just as if you were driving a car. If you use your eyes when you are on the horse's back, the horse will feel a change throughout your whole body when you turn to look in the direction that you want to go, and he will learn to follow your eyes. So it is not only important to use your eyes well for balance, but also because of a simple fact of horse behavior that horses use their eyes to communicate with each other. Okay, that's a look at ear to shoulder alignment, Now, let's look at having good upper torso position. There are two common problems I see in upper body posture. One is the tense or raised shoulder. Right now, if you tense your shoulders, you'll find that it raises your shoulders up towards your ears. Notice that if you hold your shoulders in that position, your elbows and shoulders are stiffened, and you can start to feel the tension creep down into your neck and shoulders. You won't have the range of motion and the fluid joints that you'd have when your shoulders are relaxed. When your shoulders are tense, your hands will bounce, causing your horse to tense and stiffen to protect his mouth. Now, drop your shoulders down, lengthen them as long as you can, and again, make your muscles feel long and relaxed. Now, you have relaxed and fluid joints that will allow you to absorb the motion of the horse's back and keep your hands still and relaxed. Tense shoulders can often be caused by nervousness of the rider, and sometimes it's just simply a habit we get into when we're concentrating really hard. Learn to recognize when your shoulders are tense, and learn to lengthen your shoulders from your ears all the way down to the tips of your shoulders. Make that line as long as possible. Another common problem seen in upper body equitation is rounded or slumped shoulders. It used to be, back when I was a kid, riding instructors always told you to keep your shoulders back in order to counter the problem of rounded shoulders. Chin up, shoulders back. Well, if you try that now by pulling your shoulders straight back, what you'll notice is that it creates tension in your upper back. The fact is that rounded shoulders isn't really a problem of the shoulders at all. Rounded shoulders are created by collapsing the rib cage down onto your spine. The way to fix it is to simply inflate your lungs and lift your sternum or breastbone. Inflate your lungs and lift your rib cage off your spine. You can imagine inhaling and filling your lungs completely up with air, and then leave your lungs fully inflated and breathe just off the top portion of your lungs. This will fix the rounded shoulder problem by lifting your rib cage off your spine and still allow you to remain relaxed and comfortable. This, by the way, is simply good posture. If you have the problem of rounded shoulders on your horse, you probably have that problem on the ground as well with your general posture. If you can improve your posture on the ground, it will be much easier to accomplish this on the horse. Having quiet and independent hands is the hallmark of an accomplished rider. To achieve quiet hands, it is imperative to have relaxed shoulders. To have independent hands, the rider's rib cage must be lifted off the spine in order to have a separation between the movement of the lower body as it follows the motion of the horse and the upper body as it stays still. Okay, now we have looked at some of the subtleties of upper body equitation and about the importance of an open pelvis and a flat lower back. Let's talk a little bit more about having fluid and loose joints to allow for a relaxed and following motion on the horse's back. When the horse moves, motion is created in his back, and it is through fluid and loose joints that we are able to absorb the motion, so that we stay steady, balanced, and relaxed on his back. Right now, I want you to try this little exercise to show you how important it is to have fluid and loose joints. Just stand normally and comfortably, and what I want you to do is take one arm and shake it really hard, like you're trying to shake something sticky off your fingers. Feel the vibration go all the way through the joints in your fingers, in your wrists, your elbow, and your shoulder. Stop. And now, what I want you to do is stiffen your fingers and try shaking again. Feel the difference? Because of the stiffness in your fingers, the motion cannot move fluidly through your joints and be absorbed through your joints because there's a blocking of motion that is occurring from the stiffening of your fingers and the locking of those joints. Shake your arm one more time now with the loose fingers and feel how the motion pulsates through all of your joints. Here's another exercise you can try to demonstrate how important it is to have loose and fluid joints. Right now, just standing normally and comfortably, take one hand and reach straight up over your head and stretch up as far as you can, but do not lock or tense any of your joints. Make sure all of the joints in your fingers, elbows, shoulders, hips, and knees are loose and relaxed, but you're stretching up as high as you can. With the same side foot as the hand you have raised, stomp hard on the ground and see if you can feel a vibration pulse all the way up and feel a tingle through your fingers. Now, this time, clench your jaw tight and stomp again. What you should feel is the vibration ending somewhere around your shoulder instead of going all the way up through your fingers. Because you have locked one joint by clenching your jaw, you block the flow of energy through the other joints. The vibration will only come as high as your shoulder. Reaching up again, now lock your jaw, stiffen your fingers, lock your elbows and shoulders, and stomp again. What you'll feel is that the vibration only goes about as high as your hip. Okay, put your arm down now and relax. These exercises show you how important it is that all of your joints are loose and fluid so that your joints can act as shock absorbers to allow the motion of the horse's energy to dissipate through your body, like the ripples in a pond that occur when you throw a rock into it. The motion has to ripple through all of your joints. Now, I'd like to summarize all of the things that we've talked about that lead to balance and rhythm with the horse. Then we'll put it all together in the mounted workout on side B of this recording. Okay, one more time, go back to standing in the balanced position. Ear, shoulder, hip, and heel is aligned. Knees are bent. Your weight is sinking down into your heels. Open your pelvis just a little bit more and feel the backside of your legs lengthen so that the weight comes even more into the heels. Make sure your eyes are focused far out in front of you. Your ear is over your shoulder so that your neck is touching the back of the collar. Make sure your shoulders are down and long and relaxed and your shoulders are back over your hips. Your sternum should be lifted. Your rib cage is up off your spine. Your lungs are inflated. Your elbows are hanging down at your sides. Make sure that all of your joints are loose and fluid and relaxed so that the motion of the horse's back can ripple through your body like the waves rippling through a pond. Those are the critical components of proper position and balance on the horse, just as it is for many other sports that require balance. Practicing this position on the ground will help you improve your position in the saddle by developing proper muscle memory so that your ears are over your shoulders are over your hips, your sternum is lifted, your pelvis is open, your back is flat, your knees are bent and soft, and your weight is in your heels. Practicing these exercises from the ground will also help you learn to isolate the movement of your hips from your upper body and have quiet and independent hands. My name is Julie Goodnight, and thank you for spending this time with me as we work together to stride for excellence in horsemanship.